Hello out there, Sitka, and welcome back to Speaking of Hope, the official podcast of Sitka's Hope Coalition. As always, my name is Missy Monjovi, and today we're going to be wrapping up our Recovery Stories series. If you've been following us throughout the month of September, you know that each week we've been sharing a different story of recovery from members of our community right here in Sitka. These stories have been a source of hope, a source of guidance, and a source of inspiration. Last week, I had the joy of sitting down with Blake Copeland. We laughed and we joked as he reveled in the hard work and successes he's experienced that has led him to this better life. He radiated joy and pride as he spoke of how he now felt worthy and deserving of self-love. With humor, positivity, and vulnerability, Blake shared with us how his hard work and willing spirit has allowed him to create a story that he is proud of. It was truly an inspiring and heartwarming story. So Blake, we wish you the best as you continue down your recovery path. And today we get to hear our final story. And it comes from someone who has a very unique and special role here at Sitka Counseling. I won't say any more though. Heather, would you please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your recovery journey?
Well, I'm Heather Cromwell, and I am a grateful recovering alcoholic. I'm coming up on 11 years sober. So November 13th will be 11 years.
That's amazing. Congratulations. What motivated you to seek sobriety?
My alcoholism was starting to interfere with my life. It was starting to creep into my work hours. It was no longer just weekends after five or weeknights after five. It started getting earlier on the weekend days and then earlier during the days. And it started negatively impacting my work life. And it had already been negatively impacting my home life, my family life. And I was just choosing to ignore it. And I very distinctly heard on the day that I decided that it was an issue, I heard a voice that said, if I continue with this another day, I'm going to kill myself or somebody else. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it came from, but I heard it. It was enough for me to have a conversation with my partner at the time and let them know that I needed to go inpatient somewhere.
And what was that? What was that conversation like? Admitting to yourself and admitting to others?
It was scary. It was scary, but I feel like there was a huge sense of relief for both of us. It kind of felt like another shoe was dropping for him, like he was waiting for something. Things were already rocky. And he wasn't expecting it for sure, but I think if I recall correctly, there was a huge sense of relief that passed his face. He said, "Okay, great. What do we need to do?" I said, "I'm not sure." But we started by calling my primary care doctor, who saw me and then sent me over to a local outpatient clinic for an assessment. And I already had knowledge of residential programs because of the work I was doing. So I already had connection and I already knew where I wanted to go. I did the assessment, and that was on a Friday afternoon, and I was in the residential facility by Monday. So a very, very fast transition, which isn't necessarily normal, but I wanted it. I needed it. It was scary as all get out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like this was mainly like your decision, or were people around you also, I guess, floating this idea by you?
No, this was entirely me. There was probably a general consensus that there was an issue. My partner at the time had asked me, maybe on one occasion, if I thought maybe I had a problem. And of course I didn't. And I chose to ignore it. He didn't push the issue. My daughter was still fairly young at the time. I think she was 10. But yeah, no. So nobody had actually brought it to my face. I suspect that maybe they talked about it behind my back, including my actual family back home, my parents and whatnot, because there had been some issues over the years. But yeah, this was just me recognizing that I couldn't take the level of shame anymore. I couldn't take the guilt. I couldn't take the hiding of everything or thinking that I was hiding it anyway.
Yeah. Well, that is not an easy thing to do or to admit or to make that decision. So that's amazing. And it sounds like you had a support system once you decided to seek recovery and to seek treatment. Your partner was there and was supporting you along the way. How has like your family and your social sphere been part of your recovery?
Well, I didn't have a huge network back then.
Okay.
All of my friends I discovered were people that I would just drink with, right? And I had a very small family unit. And so my partner at the time didn't drink. It wasn't part of his culture. It wasn't part of his family's culture. His family pulled together to help me and support myself and my child. My child stayed in the town that I was living in with his family so that she could continue going to school. I went 4 hours away where his actual family lived in the area. So I felt still connected and supported. So he had family in both towns. I did not let my family know that anything was going on. I let my best friend know, and he was supportive. He said, do what you need to do. I did not let my family know until I was 3 weeks into treatment, and I called my mom. And there were some tears on her side. On my side, there was a lot of fear. It took a lot for me to make that call. She was grateful. She had no idea. She knew that it was an issue. She didn't know that I finally had realized it was an issue. And she essentially said everything that I'd waited my whole life to hear in the span of about a 20-minute phone call. I told my dad, I think when I got out, I was in treatment for 33 days. I told my dad when I got out, and he said, well, if you thought it was a problem, I'm glad you took care of it. You know, alcoholism runs in my family, which I didn't really think about until after I got sober.
What would you say has been the most challenging part of your recovery? And how have you maintained sobriety despite it?
I think the most challenging part was learning how to live without alcohol, which sounds like it would be a no-brainer. But when you learn to do everything with alcohol, when that is the end of your, that is the end of your drinking career, is what I call it. By the time you're to the end of your drinking career, most of us alcoholics have learned that there's nothing we cannot do without alcohol. Like, we have to have alcohol at that level. We are physically dependent on it. And it doesn't mean that we're a drunk all day. It just means that some of us had to have a maintenance buzz throughout the day, which is where I had gotten to. And so learning to live life without alcohol, from the time I would wake up in the morning until the time I would go to bed, was different, was hard. You know, I had to learn to avoid most things, sporting events, camping with friends, long drives, fishing, going out, playing pool, anything that I loved to do. I had to relearn all of it. You know, it was a lot of reflection. It was a lot of assessing what my life looked like. It was a lot of just being real with myself and recognizing, is this an event that I really need to go to? Are these people that I really need to spend time with? Or do I need to really protect my sobriety at all costs and wait a little bit longer? Or do I have an accountability person there who does not drink and who supports me 100% in my sobriety that I trust? So a lot of relearning, a lot of accepting that I cannot do that right now, and a lot of me letting people know that I am sober, I don't drink, I love you guys, but I'm not going to attend this function. Mm-hmm. And having to be okay with not participating in life as most people would.
It's so interesting just having to relearn habits and, as you said, just relearn this way of life and understanding what situations can be triggering and just trying to figure out how to function in them in a different way, in a different manner than you're used to.
Yeah, when your entire day is a trigger.
What things did you fall back on instead? Or when you were in those situations where you normally would have reached for a drink, were there things that you would turn to instead?
So in the early part of my recovery, I was drinking Diet Coke, and then it was just bubble water. I always had my own beverage with me no matter where I went, or if I was going somewhere where I knew I couldn't actually take something with me, A, I either didn't go, or B, I made sure that whoever was there knew that I was sober and was going to have whatever I needed on hand. And it's, you know, it's just something that I've always done. I still do it. I always make sure I have my own beverage, and I still, you know, I'm coming up on 11 years. I still avoid situations. Mm-hmm. Not out of fear that I'll relapse, because I haven't ever relapsed. I haven't ever lapsed. Recovery is possible without doing either of those. I don't necessarily avoid going places out of fear that I'll lapse or relapse. I just don't need to be there. And that's just generally something I evaluate ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I've always protected my sobriety at all costs.
Awesome. What have you learned about yourself throughout your recovery?
That I'm finally good at school. Since about 6 months into my sobriety, I went back to school for a master's degree. I've since gotten 2 master's degrees, and I just completed my PhD.
Congrats.
Yeah, in 11 years of sobriety, I've gotten 3 degrees. I've learned how to laugh at myself, which was a huge thing. I didn't think it was an issue. I didn't know that I had an issue with not being able to laugh at myself. And I learned in treatment that I needed to learn to laugh at myself and not take life so seriously. And just that everybody does recovery differently, but the most successful ones do it with a network. Like, you have to have that network, whatever that sobriety network looks like for you. It doesn't necessarily mean AA or NA, but for a lot of people it does. For me personally, I have my own sober support network. I have done AA in the past, and early in my recovery I did, and it was really important. But I've just learned that it's okay. It's okay to be me. And I like me, you know. I didn't for a long time. And it's okay to speak out about my sobriety. Like, I announce when I go places, if it's with a new group of people, I let people know ahead of time that I'm sober. It protects my sobriety. And that's if I don't have my sobriety, I don't have anything. No family, no education, no relationships, no job. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I'm so glad that you like Heather. We haven't worked together that long, but I think Heather is a pretty cool person. And I'm sure a lot of people here can also agree. So, coming from a peer who has been through recovery, what advice would you give to someone who is trying to get sober?
I would say just do it. Just swallow whatever fear or pride you have and recognize that if you want to continue living, sobriety is the only option. You know, start with your primary care doctor if you need to. Start with a friend if you need to. Find someone who will go with you if need be to that first appointment as a support and just sit there with you, because, yeah, I'm not going to lie, it's scary to admit that we have that problem. But, you know, and even if you feel like there's not anybody out there that cares if you live or die, I guarantee there's somebody out there who cares if you live or die. You know, getting past that fear and getting out of your own way. And then once you get to whatever level of treatment you're at, dig in, do the work, do it up front. You know, don't let anybody, because people in recovery, people early in recovery, can be challenging. Personalities come out all over the place, and they might not like you. If you focus on yourself in your recovery program and you focus on what you need to do for yourself and not worry about everybody else's recovery program, you'll do all right and you'll come out of it on the other end.
That's great. Just knowing to dial in, to keep focused and like remember the goal while you're there. That's super, super powerful. Okay. What does recovery mean to you?
That's an easy one. It means life. It means family. It means connection. It means being whole, you know? Does it mean being scared and vulnerable? Yeah, absolutely. But it means being real. It means being authentic. It means being transparent. It means fun, like belly laughs, like being able to be genuine and really not care truly what other people think of you, and being happy with yourself. And I could go on about I could probably go on for quite some time about all that, but that's the meat of it. It means life, living life to the fullest, and learning how to work with fear and vulnerability. And the only true connections come with vulnerability and authenticity and transparency.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And I mean, I've spoke with 3 other individuals so far this month, and that's definitely a theme that has come up, is vulnerability and this authenticity and like being content with yourself
And it's also just so interesting because obviously every story is unique, but then there are all these common threads and just seeing how while your story is unique to you, it's also felt and experienced by so many other people, which is a really cool connection to have in a certain sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was terrified going into treatment because I had been the professional who was sending people into treatment. The position I was in was one of care coordination where I would make referrals. And I was terrified to admit that I needed to be where I was recommending these other people be. Once I got there, it was apparent that other people could see that I had that level of difference. You know, I didn't have legal involvement. I hadn't lost my children. I didn't necessarily hit the same bottom that they had. But what I did recognize while I was there was that, you know what, we do all struggle with the same underlying issues. We're all here because of some levels of trauma or low self-worth or other things that led us to use drugs and alcohol. And we're also all here for the same reason, because we need to be better, whether it's somebody else telling us we have to be better, like the courts or family members or medical providers, or if it's us telling ourselves we need to be better. We're all here for the same reason. So recognizing that, and I think that took me maybe a week to recognize, recognizing that allowed me to go ahead and let that guard down and really just be present in my treatment.
That's awesome. Thank you. So how has your life changed since you've been in recovery?
Aside from, you know, achieving pretty momentous higher education goals, I have repaired all of my family relations. I have come to other understandings with family members who choose to continue to use alcohol. I don't judge them for it. I also don't push my ways on them. That's their life. So, you know, I've gained new understandings. I've repaired relationships. I've achieved goals that I always wanted, and I thought they were just dreams. I didn't think they were possible. I've learned that I can get through anything, and I can deal with the discomfort in other ways, and I can suffer losses. In the span of my sobriety, I mentioned my best friend toward the beginning of this, that I had told him that I was going into treatment. And he supported me in that. And I lost him to suicide 6 years ago. I've lost him. My dad passed last December. I've had other losses. I've not relapsed. In my mind, the only purpose for alcohol is if it's rubbing alcohol and you're putting it on a wound to clean it. There's literally nothing alcohol can fix by ingesting it, in my opinion. So as far as, you know, what has changed in my life, everything. And I found me. My experience has enabled me to connect with other people and help other people and help put other people on the path to recovery and just understand where they're coming from.
You said a lot right there. And I just want to thank you for your vulnerability and for being open. And to say it's beautiful, some of the things you found in your life now and the joy and the connection. You mentioned that the only alcohol that has a purpose is like rubbing alcohol, and just knowing that alcohol won't fix things, but being able to confront the things now without the alcohol and understanding that you're strong enough to confront them and you can do it. And that is just such an amazing change to be able to feel and to be able to know and believe in yourself. And so I just want to commend you on that and say that is amazing.
Yeah, it's in my experience, it's not ever brought anybody back from the dead or from disease or ailment. It doesn't make anything easier. It might take away the hurt in the moment, but the guilt and the shame and the hurt that you're going to still feel, that you're not going to be able to work through because you don't have all your faculties, it just prolongs the pain.
Thank you. You have mentioned a little bit about your educational background, some of your work. I don't want to dive too much into this, but you are a behavioral clinician here at Sitka Counseling. And I do want to ask you, how has your recovery impacted your work and has impacted the education that you sought and the field you wanted to be a part of?
I mean, I've got a level of empathy that I'm not going to say that other clinicians don't have, because all of our clinicians are fantastic and they have that level of empathy. So maybe it's not empathy that I'm looking at. It's just a level of true understanding of having been where these clients are. You know, I've seen so much of it. I've felt so much of it. A lot of people's bottoms that they hit are lower than mine. my bottom was low enough for me. Their bottom is low enough for them. I can also recognize when they really, they want the sobriety, they're just not there yet. And helping them kind of sit with that and helping them kind of work toward, okay, well, I really do want this, but I don't want to get there. Like, and being that bridge for them and helping them move over to that point of really embracing sobriety and dealing with the discomfort that it's going to take to get there is something I think that comes with having been there. And being real with them and saying, hey, look, I've been there. I get it. I get the struggle and I get the discomfort. I get the lying and the shame and the hiding everything and the guilt and the really icky family interactions and, you know, the losses that you're suffering. I completely understand that. Recovery is not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. You know, it's hard and it takes daily work, but I'm willing to walk that path with you as long as you're willing to put in the work. I put in my own work. Nobody could do it for me. I'm going to expect the same of other people. If that's truly what they want, I will support them.
Amazing. Thank you.
Get kind of fired up about it.
No, it's fair. Some themes that have come up in other interviews is this idea that the person like needs to want it for themselves and really want it. But it seems like your role is you kind of get to help them build the self-efficacy of knowing that they can do it. And like helping them along the way and understanding the struggles that they might face and being able to offer a your lived experience to them.
Absolutely.
So those are all of the questions I have for you. But before we end, is there any last thoughts you have or any other words that you would like to share?
I'm truly grateful for my sober life and for my recovery. And for me, there's not another life. There's not another chance. You know, if I ever go back, there's no coming back from that one. So, and that's my personal estimation of myself and my abilities. Like, so I don't even give myself the opportunity to entertain a lapse or a relapse. Mm-hmm. I love my recovery that much. I love my life that much. So yeah, I just, you know, recovery's a process, but can be really, really rewarding.
Thank you so much. And what a positive, beautiful note to end on. And like I said, I appreciate you being here and being willing to be open and vulnerable with us and just sharing your story. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.